This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
So, Rabblers, over the next little while, we're going to be treated to a series of podcasts, which are short excerpts from Kathy Bond's highly acclaimed new novel, Nighttown. It's the story of Maddie Barnes, a young woman who, after unspeakable tragedy, a tragedy that her family refuses to acknowledge, completely implodes and ends up on the mean streets of downtown Toronto in the early 1970s. The first reading is an excerpt from before all the hell hits, but it should give you an idea of Maddie, what she's about, and how her family operates.
I was under the blankets reading by flashlight when the door creaked open. I flicked off the light. Another flashlight beam began to squiggle across the ceiling as footsteps softly padded across the floor towards the bed. I lay perfectly still. Maddie! The twins stood at the end of the bed in identical housecoats, holding flashlights under their chins, matching demons. "You have to come with us," they whispered. "Hugh," I sat up. It was time to face another Gillespie dare. Following the twins, I silently padded down the staircase, through the darkened house and out the back door. Moonlight lit the path that led to the barn. Granddad always locked Buster up with the cattle, so nobody knew we were out of the house. We ran over the snow and ice, staying close to the ground, then up the graveled rise where the tractors drove hay in. Panting, I placed my palms on the big barn doors. The twins stood on either side. I heard voices as we pushed them open. Then the light went out and the voices stopped. I was terrified. The twins' flashlight beams danced around the barn. An old cutter rested at the back, covered in dust and feed bags. Hay bales, stacked like building blocks, covered the walls all the way to the mow. One of the boy cousins sat on a bale near the bottom. One of the boy cousins sat on a bale near the top. Another was perched on a bale near the bottom. They'd thrown Granddad's big barn coats over their pajamas and were smoking cigarettes. It was dangerous to smoke in a barn, but the boys didn't care. It wasn't as dangerous as if Granddad caught them. The twins tittered, shining beams of light into one another's faces. They were having fun, but they looked scared too. Then a spooky laugh echoed down, followed by a flap of wings as birds struck the rafters. Crows, angry at being disturbed, began to caw and swoop. I looked up through the gloom to the center beams that supported the mow. Something large shifted in the center of the middle one. It was too big to be a cat. My stomach jumped. What was it? A flashlight shone, a rotating circle of light that got wider and wider and wider until it struck Hugh. He was sitting in the center of the beam, a rifle across his lap, smoking a cigarette. 20 feet high in the air, with nothing but the bare boards below to break his fall. Another crow cawed, a black shape flying high into the rafters and swooping down towards the ground. "Are you ready?" Hugh asked. "Or are you chicken?" "I'm not afraid of anything." A cold draft cut through my housecoat, making me shiver. "You're 12 now," Hugh said, flicking a cigarette down to the floor, the ember glowing red. "Get up here." It was a hard climb in slippers. When one of the boys behind me pulled at the hem of my house coat, I let out a kick. I'd always been afraid of heights, but climbing into the pitch black, watching the twins getting smaller and smaller, was only making things worse. Shaking, I forced my eyes to focus on the rung in front of me until I reached the top and stepped out into the soft straw. Hugh's giant shadow spread across the ceiling. He stood, rifle loose in one hand, the other beckoning me to step out onto the beam. He didn't waver, just as steady and sure as if he was standing on the ground. "Come out!" I started across the hay. The boys kept clucking, "Chicken! Chicken!" The twins joined the chorus from down below. More crows sat in the rafters, shifting black shapes, cawing into the night. The beam didn't look so wide and sturdy from up in the mow. It was more like a rigid tightrope. Shaking, I looked down. The twins stared up, their mouths gaping as wide as the chickens they fed every day. I remembered the hired man who had fallen from here once and broken his back, never to walk again, and suddenly I didn't want to go out on the beam. Hugh rammed his free hand into his pocket. He was tall and strong like Granddad. I looked into his eyes and stopped thinking about the floor. This was about courage. This was about being a Gillespie. My legs wobbled. Even my feet were shaking. I wanted to get down on my hands and knees and belly across like a snake, but I didn't. I opened my arms wide for balance and willed myself out onto the beam. Ahead of me, Hugh set the rifle down on the rafter, then slowly walked backwards towards the safety of the other side. His eyes never left me. A few steps later, I stood over the gun, out in the center, all alone. "Pick it up," Hugh said. Sighed. His eyes never left me. A few steps later, I stood over the gun, out in the center, all alone. "Pick it up," Hugh said. I was shaking so hard, I was sure he could see it, could feel my trembling through the beam, but I bent over and saw the planked floor suddenly fly up and almost hit me in the face as I tilted down towards it. Then, feeling the cool metal of the muzzle, I grabbed the rifle, clasped it to my chest, and stood upright. Hugh grinned. I grinned back. I'd done it. I'd shown him. Then his hand shot out, and he released a handful of corn up into the air. Golden kernels struck my legs and head, and suddenly the crows, dozens of crows, swooped hungrily down from the rafters, rushing at me, searching for food. Hugh threw another shower of corn. An enormous black shape flew past, so close I could see the red in the center of its eye. My free hand rushed instinctively to protect my face. A bird flapped against my house coat. The boys yelled for me to shoot. I brought the rifle to my shoulder. We'd all learned how to fire a gun. The rifle cracked. There was a bang down below, followed by a series of angry shouts. But nothing registered. I just stood in the middle of the beam, firing shot after shot after shot into the black, hearing nothing, feeling nothing but the rush of pure adrenaline. "Marty!" It was Mum. I stopped and looked down, disoriented. Her face was ghostly white. Everyone else was there too. All of the adults, dressed in their pajamas, sharply shaking off sleep. Aunt Anne was rigid. Hugh was nearly at the bottom of the ladder. Dad shoved him out of the way and started to climb. Granddad yelled something about there being hell to pay. My foot slipped. The rifle fell, and with a bang it hit the floor. Everybody scattered. "Stay steady," Granddad ordered. The crows cawed. "Drop to your knees and straddle the beam," Dad said. "I'll come and get you." I kneeled down, putting my hands in front of me, and grasped the beam, dropping one leg and then the other. "Okay, safe." Hugh stared at me. The other cousins, too. I could see it in their eyes. I'd gotten them all in trouble. Slowly, I stood back up. "Maddie," Dad yelled, "stay down." A crow swept by, catching my house coat with the tip of its wing. Swaying, one foot shot out, while Granddad opened his arms. "Jump," he called. "Stay put," Dad yelled. "Jump," Granddad called again, moving right beneath me, his arms held high and wide. "I'll catch you." Of course he would. I leapt. Granddad scooped me out of the air moments before I hit the ground, as easily as a bag of seed or a bale of hay. The roughness of his white bristles scratched my cheek. "Were you scared?" he asked, setting me down. "No, sir." "That's a good girl." "Thank you, Dad," Mom said, her hand gently stroking my face. All the adults' faces looked tight and stricken, all except Granddad, who smiled and gave me a hard pinch. "I'm sorry," I said, glancing around. One of the aunts snorted. "You should be sorry," Aunt Anne said, hands clasping and unclasping. "If you were mine, I'd spank you within an inch of your life." The boy cousins were dragged out the door, and the twins weren't spared any humiliation either. They were spanked right there on the spot. I heard a thump behind me. It was Dad. He was so upset, I thought I was going to get it. But instead, he pulled me to him and held me fast. Then he stared at Granddad, who glared right back. "Nobody got hurt," Granddad said. "This time," Dad replied. He turned to Mom. "Get the boys." "Oh, Teddy, we're going home," he said. "You don't need to do that," Aunt Ann said. "You don't need to do that," Aunt Ann said. "Get the boys," Dad repeated. I'd never seen my father so angry. Mom and Aunt Ann ran ahead while Dad grabbed my hand and pulled me out of the barn. When I looked back, Granddad was shaking his fist at Hugh. Was Hugh going to get the belt?
That was Kathy Bond reading from her new novel, Night Town. Stay tuned for the next installment. Talk to you again soon. Thanks for listening to the Radio Book Lounge. I'm Megan Perry.